full-length movie, it was given a remarkably short title. I think it was about a year ago that the Disney Studios released a film which they entitled simply Up. And if you have seen it, perhaps you'll agree that it was a very aptly named film for a variety of reasons. Perhaps the most obvious reason for naming the movie Up was the fact that it had quite a bit to do with helium-filled balloons, so many that, according to the animated film, it was able to lift a house right off its foundations. Perhaps it was called Up also because it featured a man who was living up to the promise he had made to his dear departed wife. The film could also lay claim to the title Up insofar as its script was clearly written with the objective of leaving the viewers feeling up after seeing the film. I think most would agree that there are some truly funny parts to that movie. Trouble is, the lift in mood which one can receive from something like a lighthearted form of entertainment like a movie has limited staying power. Once the lights in the theater go on and one leaves the building, the jokes can be retold only so many times before they wear thin, and one realizes that the good things that happen to the people in the movie really have little or no bearing on one's own situation. We shift, therefore, from the fantasy world of Disney to the very real and far superior world of Holy Scripture, which shows to us an up account that can uplift continually and which does have everything to do with our lives. That, of course, is the account of our Lord's ascension, formally celebrated yesterday. Even though it was his ascension, it was an event that did us a world of good. Something which we are told in a number of places in Scripture, such as Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. He, Jesus, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. If Christ had not come down to earth, risen from the dead, and ascended into heaven, the word that would be properly used to headline the narrative of our lives would be down. The devil and our own sinful flesh have let us down. Down to death, down to destruction, down to despair. By nature, we are the very opposite of the one who is properly fitted and suited for heaven. Hebrews says that he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The amazing thing about Jesus, though, is even though he's in a category all by himself, he didn't keep to himself, but rather came down from heaven in order that he might raise us up to glory. In somewhat the same way in which the man in the movie traveled to the ends of the world to fulfill the promise that he had made to his wife, so to a greater extent, of course, Christ traveled down from heaven to this sin-cursed world, took on human flesh, all in order to fulfill the loving promises made by God in the Garden of Eden. God promised that he would rescue us from sin and death. He promised that he would destroy our arch enemy, the devil. He promised that he would restore us to himself, and all of those things he accomplished when Jesus completed the plan of salvation, which included his ascension. And why did he ascend? Not to abandon us, not to just leave the scene, but to give lift to our lives, both temporal and eternal. Consider this fascinating and logic-defying passage of Paul's in Ephesians. He states that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What happens to the body, of course, has to happen, what happens to the head has to happen also to the body. And so when Jesus, our head, rose from the dead, he conquered death for us. And when he ascended, he secured for us a place of eternal splendor. Because of his ascension, every believer in him will be eternally up in the paradise he has gone to prepare. But don't think that preparation effort is distracting him from our lives right now. Our ascended Lord is completely engaged in our affairs, our lives, right at this moment, giving us more than enough reason to be up even as we make our journey to that eternal glory. Since he has ascended, we can be up even when difficulties enter our lives, because our difficulties are not difficult for him. Our challenges and hardships in the hands of the Lord become easily remedied, easily solved. Remember the parting assurance that he gave shortly before his ascension? All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Even though the clouds removed him from our sight, he never takes his eyes off of us. Nor does he ever just shelve our problems to be dealt with at another time. Peter, who had the privilege of seeing his ascension, reminds us to cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. He daily works with us and for us to bring everything into the service of our good. Since he has ascended, we can also be up, even when the devil tries to pull us down by dredging up our sins, because the ascended Jesus keeps our sins from appearing before the Father. Hebrews speaks of him as the high priest who always lives to make intercession. John speaks of Jesus as our advocate, a word that occurred in one of the hymns that was selected for worship yesterday. An advocate, our defense lawyer, one who successfully pleads our case. When the Father sees the Lamb who was slain for our offenses and raised for our justification, all charges are instantly dropped. And since Jesus has ascended, we can be up even when death approaches. Death in the hands of the ascended Lord has become nothing more powerful or lasting than an evening's sleep. Paul made that point through his penetrating question to King Agrippa, "Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead?" He was fully aware that his ascended Lord could raise him up again, and that he would. And so he summarized his life so simply for himself, as it should be the case for us, saying, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Up. The world tries very hard to be so, and through its various forms of entertainment, it achieves a certain level of being up, but its basis is temporary and thin. Our Lord Jesus, on the other hand, has secured a permanently uplifted position for all believers, and has provided every reason needed for us to be up on our journey to paradise. He who sits on heaven's throne and possesses all power promises to use that power in any way that we need him to. Problems, no problem for him. Death, he's the death of death. Sin, it's been removed. Still, for us, he intercedes. His prevailing death, he pleads. Near himself prepares our place, harbinger of human race. There we shall with thee remain, partners of thy endless reign. There thy face unclouded see, find our heaven of heavens in thee. What more is necessary for us to be up? We conclude this week's series of chapel addresses in the same way in which was begun on Monday, with the singing of hymn 737, the first three stanzas, 737.